lovely medley. Is this just a Hollywood medley, or is it from the show?
YouTube says Academy Awards original music theme.
So it's just like a medley of
7 minutes of stuff.
Of stuff. Because it started with E.T. What is this? Oh, that's Take My Breath Away. So there's a little Berlin in there. That's fantastic. All right, Nick DiGilio here. Hi, everybody. It's we're live in the Allstate Studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. The Academy Awards were Sunday night. What did you guys think? I took the day off yesterday, so I was not on the air to talk about it. And Brian Noonan filled in for me, talked about it a little bit. But I want to hear what you guys thought of the awards. 312-981-7200, the big winner of the night for Best Picture was Spotlight, which I actually called. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that. Almost everybody was saying The Revenant was going to win, and I went against the popularity, and I said Spotlight, and Spotlight did indeed win. It was the kind of movie that they award, Academy Awards, you know, give awards to those kind of movies. It was interesting to see how much was split up this year. There was no, I mean, the only movie that won a ton of awards was Mad Max, which of course makes me thrilled. It won the most awards on Sunday night. Mad Max won 6 Academy Awards, which I just find amazing. I have to tell you, I really did not, when that movie came out in May, you know, I didn't expect it to be the winner of the most Academy Awards. I just didn't, that was the furthest thing from my mind. I mean, I was euphoric, you know, because I had just seen the movie. But I never thought, oh, yeah, that thing's going to win 6 Academy Awards. Deserves every one of them. Should have won Best Picture, should have won Best Director as well. But it didn't. So, now, Dan, you and I were talking a little bit. You thought Chris Rock did okay?
Yeah, I just think he was kind of hamstrung. I mean, it was one of those things where the first couple jokes I thought were funny, and then he made the really poignant joke about the raping and the lynching, and obviously that's a weird statement to say where it's a poignant joke about raping and lynching, which was more powerful than funny, but I was just kind of hoping, like, he would kind of just top it, and it never came, you know, and there was no, like, big, like, there it is moment for me.
Yeah. I thought his opening monologue was pretty great, and I like the I love the fact that he came out to fight the power. You know, it was predetermined what most of his material was going to be. It had to be. But I think he went to the well one too many times. I'm one of the people that thought, okay, you know, how about a little more diversity in your material, maybe? Esmeralda, did you get to see any? I know that you were at the soup party, but did you get to see any of that?
I did get to see a little bit of it. I wasn't too happy with the Asian kid joke. I was like, meh. Mm. With them bringing him out and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a little weird to do the cookies.
Well, the cookies.
The Girl Scout cookies.
As I mentioned when I was talking with Jim, it reminded me too much of what Ellen did a couple of years ago with the pizzas.
Right.
When it was the same kind of thing. I mean, it was just like, get everybody out in the audience and blah, blah, blah. Instead of ordering pizzas, they buy Girl Scout cookies.
Right.
I thought the bit was kind of funny, but it was just, had Ellen already not, you know, if she didn't do that.
Yeah, and it wasn't two times funny.
No.
You didn't have to do it twice.
No. No. Although, as I was saying to Jim a little bit earlier, I thought it was very amusing to see Christian Bale stuffing his face with Thin Mints. I mean, I thought that was pretty funny.
There's a funny picture going around of Leo, like, licking his lips as he's opening up a box. I can't tell what they are, though.
Well, the Thin Mints are the green box.
Right. This is blue.
It's blue?
Yeah. Oh, it's not. I mean, there's a picture on the front, but the outer is black. It's blue.
Oh, I wouldn't know what that one is, because I know that the tagalongs are, it's like almost an orange color, the tagalongs. So, all right, you mentioned
trefoils.
I don't even know what that is. What is that? What flavor
is
that?
I only like Thin Mints, so.
I like the Thin Mints, too. I'm a Thin Mint guy. And I was telling you off the air, Esmeralda, you got to throw them in the freezer.
They look like butter cookies or something.
Oh, they're like butter cookies?
Tray foils.
Okay. All right. Anything is better than a raw liver for DiCaprio at this point. If he's not like inside the carcass of a dead animal eating a raw liver, I think this is, you know.
Trefoils are traditional shortbread cookies.
Okay, then you're right. That's like a butter cookie. Shortbread cookies are good.
I would have gone with a thin mint, though.
Me too.
Come on, Leo.
Christian Bale
somebody's
got it right.
Somebody's got him behind him. So
somebody's got a thin mint behind him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier, Dan, some of the material from Chris Rock's monologue. Here's the bit that you were actually talking about, which I actually think is a great bit. I thought his monologue was actually really good. Here we go.
I'm sure there were no black nominees some of those years, say 62 or 63, and black people did not protest. Why? Because we had real things to protest at the time. You know? Too busy being raped and lynched to care about who won Best Cinematographer.
Very good. Very good. A lot of it was good. You know, like I said, I think he went to the well one too many times. I thought the bits where they reenacted the movies with black people in them was pretty funny. I thought when they did the interview outside the theater in Compton, some of that stuff was really, really hilarious. It was just he went back, you know, to the joke. Well, too many times, I thought. The show was way too long. And the idea of having that roll, the crawl at the bottom where everybody was thanking people, it didn't stop people from getting cut off from their speeches at all. I mean, I thought it was kind of, I guess everybody then did get mentioned, even if they forgot, but they would mention the same people that were on the crawl at the bottom. So I don't know if that was a very successful idea. And Dan, you pointed out something interesting about the crawl thing.
It just further emphasized how long it takes for certain winners to get to the podium, because a lot of time the crawl was over before they even like walked up the steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did see somebody gave away, told their kids they were getting a dog in one of the crawls. I'll see if I can pull up more information.
Oh, okay.
But so apparently one of the winners said, congratulations, kids, we're getting a dog.
They're going to get a dog because they won?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny. All right. You know, Mad Max ended up winning 6 Academy Awards. And for a while, I was just beside myself. And I know, Esmeralda, you were at the soup party, but you were like... sending me some messages.
I was sitting watching it at the time that and just one after the other I kept winning. I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Very excited for you.
I was very, very happy. And I posted on my Facebook page, witness with exclamation points, and then just kept counting down how many Oscars Mad Max won. It deserved every single Oscar that it got. There's no question about it. I think it should have won every single Oscar that it was nominated for, and they should have invented new Academy Awards just so Mad Max could win. So, all right, we got more here. 312-981-7200. If you watch the Academy Awards, send us a text or give us a call. 312-981-7200. And also, we're going to talk about the winners and the losers and what were your favorite parts of the show and all that cool stuff. And we got more audio, plus a tribute to the great George Kennedy. That's all coming up. More Oscar talk, 312-981-7200. And we'll take a break for the news coming up. Man, 2 for Tuesday. We're gonna get a twofer. 2 for Tuesday. 2 for Tuesday on my choice here this morning. We'll get a twofer of the Police, one of my favorite bands of all time. And then Esmeralda, you can pick our next twofer. And then Dan, you pick our next twofer. Okay.
Got
2 for Tuesday. Yeah. I've talked about this before. How the Police have a special spot in my heart because my high school years basically existed because of my high school years were basically all about the Police. their entire career. Their first album was released in 1979. Their last album was released in 1983. Those were the 4 years that I went to high school. So my entire high school, my entire time in high school was dominated by the Police. So that's my two for this morning. Okay, 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. Talking about the Academy Awards, I was off yesterday, so we'll talk a little bit about the awards. And what did you think? What did you think of Chris Rock? What did you think of the material? And how about the winners, the losers, and who gave the best speeches and all that cool stuff? 312-981-7200. As we mentioned before the break, Esmeralda was at a party, a soup party. Now, let's talk a little bit about this before we get back to the Oscars here, Esmeralda. Tell everybody what it is that was happening on Sunday night.
So we've done it a few times now. We'll just have friendly competitions on a certain subject. Chili, we did meatballs, and we thought soup. So Sunday was the battle soup.
So battle soup.
Yes.
This was not at your place. It was at a friend's.
No, it was at a friend's house. So what we do is we all just make soup and we bring it and then we vote.
Okay. How many people participated in the soup battle?
There was there may be like 10 soups.
10 soups. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of soups. And people doubled up, like not doubled up on the soup, but they went in as a couple.
Oh, I see.
A lot of people were couples. And actually, me and V,
yeah,
we made separate soups. And everyone's like, you guys made separate. We're like, yeah. Compete, man.
Oh, for the competition. Now, what kind of soup did he make?
He made, and actually, he had never made soup before. Isn't that insane?
Wow.
He's a 32-year-old man.
And he's
Lizard
never
man.
Made, and he's
never
made,
made
soup.
Soup.
Blizzard man.
Lizard man.
Oh, lizard man. I thought you said blizzard man.
No, lizard. Lizard.
Because you know what blizzard man is, right?
No.
Blizzard Man is the horrible white rapper that Andy Samberg used to play. Every time they would have like a black rapper or a black artist on SNL, they would bring in the Blizzard Man.
That is definitely not him.
No. No, he's not. That's why I was like, Blizzard Man?
No.
Dan,
no.
Do you know Blizzard Man?
I was unaware of Blizzard Man.
It's this character that Andy Samberg, if you just like Google Andy Samberg Blizzard Man, you'll see what he looks like. And the bits are hilarious. One that I remember specifically was, I believe Puff Daddy was on with, and the host of the host was De Niro. And De Niro was in drag as Blizzard Man's mother. And Puff Daddy was hitting on Robert De Niro in drag as Blizzard Man was recording his music. Do they have any audio of Blizzard Man, Dan?
Don't worry about it. I got this guy that's coming in that's crazy. He's the hottest hook guy in the business.
Oh, yeah. Who's that? Trey Songz?
Better.
Bruno Mars?
No. Blizzard Man.
Well, the Blizzard Man. Yeah, I've heard of him. Legend has it he's a hip-hop hermit.
That must be him right there.
Yo.
Busy Blaze, my man.
What it do?
You ready to do this?
Wiggity word.
Okay, let's go.
So, that's the Blizzard Man?
Yeah, it's the Blizzard Man. Check this, man. Don't judge a book by its cover. Mm-hmm. My man is like R. Kelly, Erykah Badu, Kate Hudson all rolled into one.
Mm-hmm. Now you're speaking my language, Diddy.
All right, Blizz, I'm going to let the beat rock, and you just do your thing, baby. Let's go.
Holla back.
Yo, I'm about to set it. It's your boy, Young Blizz. I'm going to just do me. Check my style out. Rap song, rap song. Rap is the fad that the kids all dig. Fancy duds are what we sport. And when the ladies shake a leg, we peek at their buns. Yo, where Brooklyn at?
I am Brooklyn's in the house. I told y'all. My man, it's crazy.
That was awful.
Yeah, that sucked.
It was bad. It sucked bad.
Y'all just hating. The kid in there, he's the truth.
Well, who is that?
Yo, that's my mom's.
Ah!
snitches.
It's indeed a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, dear, as you know, a bitch gotta stay dipped.
Indeed.
What?
All right, let's get back to making this smash. Hey, Blizzy Rock, let's hit him one more time, baby.
Yo, streets want it. Another bad creation. You crazy for this one, MC Scat Cat? Check my style out. City is spooky, but we're not scared. We hang off the stoop and razz the cops. Then we stuff socks down the front of our jeans, and the gals see the bulge and they think it's our wang. Yo, no homo.
Okay. So it goes on. That's the basic idea. That's the Blizzard Man. That's why I. That's why.
Yeah, definitely not.
When
him.
You said the Blizzard Man, I'm like, what?
It'd be amazing, though.
It's ridiculous that I. That this. Character that Andy Samberg, I think he played the Blizzard Man maybe three times total. They've done that bit. But it destroys me every time I see it. And that, by the way, that big reaction was because De Niro, not only dressed in drag, Dan, is it possible to, he's dressed like a hoe.
Yeah, he's brightly colored sweater, Cosby-esque in a way.
Yeah. And like bad, like sunglasses, right, if I remember, and like big fake nails.
And it big was curly fake hair.
Yeah, and he's got like a big booty. They gave him a big booty, and then like P. Diddy is like slapping on the booty and stuff. It's ridiculous.
Andy, by the way, the Blizzard Man, is wearing Culinary Bad esque outfits.
Oh, yeah.
From the early 90s.
Right. He seems to be obsessed with that time period, Andy Samberg, because the whole Junk in a Box thing, that whole character, those two characters, straight out of that time period.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Clearly.
It's probably right in his wheelhouse. They might be his police. They might have.
Oh, no, no question about it. Yeah. Those guys, those Lonely Island guys are right around.
Yeah, he was born in 78, so he's 37.
There you go. Perfect. All right. So anyway, so Blizzard Man, your boyfriend, the Blizzard Man, what kind of soup did he make?
It was a yellow broth, which is some sort of Irish stew.
Uh-huh.
And he put corned beef in it, and his garnish was a shot of Jameson. Just to keep that whole Irish thing going.
Sure.
And then I made the wonton soup. There was a tomato bisque. Someone made an African peanut soup, which is quite delicious.
Mm-hmm.
A mushroom and wild rice. There was a pumpkin puree kind of soup.
Wow.
What else was there? Oh, there was a tortilla soup, which was quite delicious.
Mm-hmm. Now, did everybody vote?
Yeah, I'm assuming.
What do you mean, you're assuming?
I mean, I'm assuming we all voted.
Oh.
People could have been distracted.
Did you vote?
I voted.
All right. Now, what ended up being the winner, the winning soup?
The winner was, it was a tomato and smoked Gouda.
Tomato and smoked Gouda.
Made by my ex.
Made by your ex?
Yeah, he was there.
Your ex was there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was okay.
Yeah?
I think I just said hello to him and that was that.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah.
But yeah, that was, it's like, okay,
yeah.
Sure.
There's always a reason that Jameson is there in situations like that.
But it was fun. It was fun. It's friendly competition.
Okay. And lots of good food.
There was, yeah.
Okay.
No, people made breads and things as well for the soup. So it was good.
Yeah, that
it's
sounds
delicious.
Like a good idea. I like that idea that you guys have like a little culinary competition every once in a while.
Yeah.
So you did chilies, you did meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got soups. Anybody discuss what maybe the next competition will be?
No, we haven't. I think we were throwing stuff around maybe. I think maybe we might do appetizers or something at some point.
Like some weird app?
Yeah.
Mm.
That could be a thing.
Sure.
Especially for summer.
Of course. Well, that's cool. I'm glad your ex won.
I guess.
Oh, man.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't vote for it.
No, of course not. Even if it was the best soup, you're like, I'm not voting for that guy. I'm voting for the Blizzard Man. Okay. All right, we're going to break. We'll come back and we'll talk more Oscars. There was a period during the ceremony there where I was like, oh, Mad Max might win everything ever conceived because it just kept winning. And Esmeralda, you were talking about, that was the stretch that you got to see. You got to see the Mad Max stretch of the Academy Awards where it won, like, it seriously won like 5 awards in a row. So, all right. We'll talk more Oscars. I'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. We got some texts coming in as well. 312-981-7200. What did you think of the show, the winners, all of that stuff? And how did you do if you were – did you guys do a little Oscar poll contest at your party?
We didn't. Not many people there were very into it.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the ones of us who were watching, we
were. Yeah. You know, I mean, I was invited to come over to actually go over to Decker's house and watch them. But I was just in my jammies, laying on my couch, tweeting and Facebooking.
Aww.
And I was just like laying there watching it. And then when it ended, I put on, this is the party animal I am right now. I put on Johnny Carson. I watched the rerun of Johnny Carson with Jack Benny. And I fell asleep on the couch and I was asleep at midnight.
Oh, man.
That was the, you know.
Did you have a teddy bear with you?
I did
imagine
not.
Like your footy pajamas. And
no,
a teddy
I didn't
bear
have a no. I did have Bert and Ernie pajamas on. My, you know, the pants.
Oh,
they
man.
Were Bert and Ernie pants.
That's amazing.
And I'm 50. I'm a 50-year-old man. Is it you know, Esmeralda? Just so you know, I'm single. I don't know if you knew that.
What?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Oh, and I did watch Mad Max for the 31st time, just to remind myself how good it was for the Academy Award weekend. So Sunday morning, I watched Mad Max for, it was viewing number 31. Just to prepare myself. I wanted to make sure that I, you know.
You had to make sure to remember all the cinematography.
Right.
Costumes.
That's right. It's one of those movies where, like, I probably do know every line of dialogue because there's, like, 20 lines of dialogue in the movie. So. Well, there's more than that, but okay. All right, we got a break. What'd you think of the Oscars? 312-981-7200. I can see. Tuesday, man, yeah. My two for the police. This is one of my favorite police songs of all time. Of course, I think all of the police songs are my favorite police songs of all time. Oh, boy. All right. Hi, everybody. 312-981-7200. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to be doing a tribute to the great George Kennedy, who passed away on Monday. And he was an amazing character actor, lived to be 91, was in a bunch of great movies, and we've got some audio remembering George Kennedy. But we're talking about the Academy Awards. I was off yesterday, and I did not get a chance to share with you my thoughts on the Academy Awards. I thought the show, Chris Rock did a good job. Not a great job, a good job. I thought he had a killer opening monologue, and then kind of went one too many times to the well for the Oscar So White stuff. Some of it was great. Some of it was not. I thought the show was poorly paced. I thought it was too long. I don't think the changes they made that much of a difference, especially the crawl on the bottom, thanking people. I think the idea is great, and I like the fact that it was there, but it didn't stop anybody from being cut off by the music or making anything shorter. It was odd. I didn't really like the structure of it. I didn't like the fact, and this is another thing that Dan and I were talking about when we were coming in this morning. I didn't like the fact that the writing awards were first. That just seemed odd to me. And I don't know, they tried to justify it by saying, we are showing you how a movie is created, and it always starts with a script, and I wasn't crazy about that. So, and that, boy, that song... from the James Bond movie is terrible, man. That is a terrible song. That's the first time I heard it all the way. Well, I saw the movie. I guess I'd put it out of my mind how bad the song is. Am I nuts, Dan, or is that song? I mean, that song is terrible, isn't it?
I was also underwhelmed by it.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
And it won. How did it win? I predicted it, by the way. I don't know why. I just predicted it because it was a Bond song. I guess that's why. You know what I mean? Like, I always, whenever there's a, whenever a Bond movie comes out, I always pick the Bond song to win. I don't know historically how accurate that is, but it's it was terrible, especially considering how powerful the Lady Gaga song was and what that song is about and, you know, what it meant to people and the performance of it. I thought for sure that was, you know, like after I saw the performance of it, I'm like, well, that clearly is going to win the Academy Award. And then this Sam Smith dude, what's his deal, that guy? Good Lord. Well, anyway, there was a stretch of time when it was the greatest Oscar ceremony of all time because Mad Max won like 5 Oscars in a row. And it just seemed like the Mad Max show for a while. So here we go. Here we go. Best costume design went to Jenny Beavan for Mad Max. And it was nice for her to dress up for the occasion.
She was in an ode to Mad Max.
That's exactly right, man.
Did you see there was some video shot of her walking?
Yeah.
And you just see all those people kind of giving a stink face?
Yeah. Gas face.
Yeah, they were.
They were giving the gas. Iñárritu was giving the gas face. He had his arms full. Like, hey, man, don't be messing around with the Mad Max. And, of course, I love the fact that the Mad Max guys get up there, like the sound mixing guys get up there. And they drop the F-bomb. I'm like, leave it to the Mad Max guys to get up there and drop the F-bomb. So we're going to play back the audio of the Mad Max winners. We've got some other audio to play, and I got texts coming in here. By the way, 708 area code says, Blizzard Man is also a Mega Man boss. I don't know what that means.
Mega Man was a video game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, I like our Blizzard Man better. All right, we'll take a break. News is next, and then more. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, 2 for Tuesday. And Esmeralda, you picked Blondie.
I did.
Do you know what your second song is? Did you pick both songs?
I have.
Okay, don't tell me.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to guess Heart of Glass, but don't tell me. So, Blondie. Well, Deborah Harry. Hey, do you have the Hulu, Esmeralda?
I do not.
Okay. Because there's a show on Hulu that I binged. People kept telling me to watch it because I love Billy Eichner so much, and I love Billy on the Street. Have you heard of this show called Difficult People?
Yes, and I binged watched it.
It's hysterical.
So good.
It's hysterical.
I want them to be my friends.
And, yeah. And the cameos, Kate McKinnon as the sober magician, I'm telling you, I doubled over with laughter during the whole thing. She celebrates her sobriety by being a magician. It is hysterical. Dan, do you have Hulu?
I do not have the Hulu.
The show is hilarious. Hilarious. And you know who's great in it? First thing I've ever liked her in is the girl who was in Precious.
Gabby Citadel.
Yeah. She's hilarious in this show, Difficult People. This is another one of those shows, though, that if you have an issue with very unlikable lead characters, then you're not going to like this show at all.
And it's slightly insider.
Oh, yeah.
You kind of have to know pop culture, but actors, actresses.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I don't know why I brought it up. I think because Deborah Harry, I'm only on episode, there are 7 episodes. And maybe I read it wrong, but I thought Deborah Harry was in it. Made a cameo in it.
Don't remember.
Maybe
that.
I'm getting it confused because I also was flipping around and I watched Vinyl. Maybe she's going to be, more likely she's on Vinyl. Which nobody likes except me. I'm the only person that likes Vinyl. I think it's a really good show. So, all right, we're talking about the Oscars here. And for a while there, it was the Mad Max show. Here is your costume designer.
What another lovely day. Very quickly, if Ian Smith, our amazing executive producer from Scotland, hadn't sent me a text saying, what you doing at the moment? And then got me on a plane out to meet George Miller and Doug Mitchell, I wouldn't obviously be standing here.
There you go. God bless her. Oh, and then it won this, production design.
The multitudes of Australians, New Zealanders, Brits, Americans, South Africans, Namibians, who all came together under George's vision to bring you a tale about a man with mental health issues, an amputee Amazon, and five runaway sex slaves. So I'd like to chalk this one up as the first Oscar for diversity.
See, how can you not love everything that has to do with Mad Max? How is it possible that people just don't go, oh, yeah, that's right, this is the greatest thing that cinema has ever produced? Okay, oh, yeah, and then it won Best Editing.
You know, Mad Max was the best-reviewed film of 2015. Audiences loved it, and to be honored tonight is just more than we could ever have hoped for. But it took enormous creative courage and guts to make this film. So I just want to say thanks to George Miller, Doug Mitchell, and the whole crew that endured 6 months in that Namibian desert to bring back the most amazing footage.
Yep. That was, you know, if Margaret Sixel did not win Best Editing, I would have flown out to L.A. last night, or on Sunday night. Flown out to L.A. and just shown my disdain. Oh, wait a minute. It won another one. This is for Best Sound.
For thousands of years, we've been telling stories in the dark around a flickering light. Whether a campfire or a projector, David and I do it with sound. George Miller would tell us, Mad Max is a film we see with our ears. I knew sound could tell my story, but nothing quite like this. Sound artists are storytellers. Thank you, George. I hope to see you around the next campfire.
Yeah. And those two guys dropped an F-bomb before they got the award. Yeah, for a while there, Mad Max. And then it walks away. Mad Max walks away with the most Oscars on Sunday night. 6, to be precise. 815 area code sends a text to 312-981-7200. His text says, one of my favorite moments was seeing Jacob Tremblay's reaction to the Star Wars characters when they came out.
He was adorable.
That kid is adorable.
And his parents are very good-looking people.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. That kid should have been nominated for an Academy Award for that. He's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Al says, I don't know if it's 100% accurate, but on one website it listed Ex Machina's odds of winning visual effects 7,000-1. I'm not surprised by that. That was the biggest upset of the entire night, was the fact that Ex Machina won Best Visual Effects against Star Wars. Mad Max should have won Best Picture, Al says. I mean, how many people watch Out of Africa more than Aliens? Well, okay. 512 area code says, the show was horrible. That's all it says. All right. 847 area code says, what did you think of Lady Gaga's performance? I thought it was pretty moving and quite powerful, especially when the curtain behind her revealed the 50 sexual abuse survivors. It absolutely was a very powerful performance. No question about it. I'm not a Gaga fan by any stretch of the imagination, but that is a pretty powerful song, and it was a very, very powerful performance. And like I was saying earlier, I cannot believe that damn James Bond song won. I seriously. Because I was just sitting there, and I the only time I've ever heard the song was when I saw Spectre, the opening credits. And I'm watching this thing Sunday night, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here? What? What is this? What? Here's Paul on WGN. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Nick.
Hey.
I can't believe they couldn't take a minute to do a musical tribute to James Horner.
Yeah. You know, there were... I think you're right that they should have done a tribute to him, and
they could cut the Girl Scout bit.
Yeah, well, the Girl Scout bit, like we said, the Girl Scout bit was actually done with pizza a couple of years ago.
Right. Well, right.
So, yeah.
But so many iconic. I mean, you start with Star Trek II, the best Star Trek score of any Star Trek movie, right? You start with that.
Mm-hmm. And he also co-wrote Dan's favorite song ever. Dan.
God bless him.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Paul. You know, it was mentioned in the newscast, Esmeralda, about Abe Vigoda's daughter. Mentioning that she was upset that Abe Vigoda was not mentioned in the in memoriam. That was absurd. That was completely absurd. It was the first thing I Facebooked on my immediately. I'm like, where the hell was Abe Vigoda?
Right.
You know? How is that possible that he, the Alex Rocco's in there, played Mo Green. And everybody was like, well, he just died in January. Well, so did Bowie. Bowie died in January, and he was in the tribute. That was not cool, man. You don't leave out Abe Vigoda. That's just not cool. Okay, now, as far as speeches go, my two favorite speeches of the night were this one with from Best Animated Film, Pete Docter from Inside Out. This is one of my favorite speeches of the night.
This film was really born from watching our kids grow up, which is not easy. Anyone out there who's in junior high school, working it out, suffering, there are days you're going to feel sad, you're going to feel angry, you're going to feel scared. That's nothing you can choose, but you can make stuff. Make films, draw, write. It'll make a world of difference.
Love it. Love it. Absolutely love that speech. And then we got a couple more quick ones here that we're going to play, and then I want to pay tribute to the great George Kennedy. But what did you guys think? I'd love to hear your text or your talk. What did you think of the Academy Awards, winners, losers, the broadcast? 312-981-7200.
Fab Five Freddy told me everybody's tired. DJ spinning, I said, my. Flash is fast, flash is cool, front's lost and far. Flash ain't no Duke, and you don't stop. Shoot shot.
Right. He shoots you dead and then he eats your head. Two for Tuesday. Yeah, two for Tuesday. So you went with Rapture. Is that in honor of the Blizzard Man?
I just really love Rapture.
Okay.
But yeah, sure.
Yeah. Celebrating the genius of the Blizzard Man. Esmeralda Leon, Dan Shugrue here on Two for Tuesday. Yeah. And we're talking Oscars, wrapping up the Oscars here. As far as presenters go, Louis C.K., by far, the funniest and best presenter of the evening of the Oscars. And here's a little bit of that.
It's not even a documentary feature. You know, Al Gore got one of those and Michael Moore got... you cannot make a dime on this. These people will never be rich as long as they live. So this Oscar means something because all they do is tell stories that are important. Now, you all do, but you also get rich. But these people, all they got is this Oscar is going home in a Honda Civic.
I can't tell you how like Twitter and Facebook blew up after that, saying that he should be host next year. Dan, what would you think if Louis C.K. is the host?
I think it'd be different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like it.
I would, too. I think it'd be great. So, okay, and overall, I mean, I did very well on my ballot. Only a few screw-ups. I did have Stallone, but I think most people had Stallone. But I'm not surprised that Rylance won if you actually did listen. When I was on with Cochran and on my show, I said that there is a strong possibility that if Stallone loses, it will be to Rylance. And then Mark Rylance did win because he was terrific in Bridge of Spies. And but it was a sad. I really wanted to see Stallone win. It would have been the big emotional moment of the show. And then you've got Brie Larson, who won for The Room. You've got Spotlight won Best Picture. And supporting actress went to Alicia Vikander, who, by the way, that role was the lead, but we won't talk about that. And then for me, obviously, everybody knew Leo DiCaprio was going to win, and that was the one absolute sure thing of the night, was Leonardo DiCaprio winning. And I thought his speech was great. I thought his speech was really, really great. Here's a little bit of that.
We need to support leaders around the world who do not speak for the big polluters or the big corporations, but who speak for all of humanity, for the indigenous people of the world, for the billions and billions of underprivileged people who will be most affected by this, for our children's children, and for those people out there whose voices have been drowned out by the politics of greed. I thank you all for this amazing award tonight. Let us not take this planet for granted. I do not take tonight for granted. Thank you so very much.
He's the best, man. Leo. Did you read that Onion article, Dan, that they started running a couple of months ago?
No.
It was Leonardo DiCaprio is sure that he grunted and screamed enough in The Revenant that he will get an Oscar. And the big winner of the night was not The Revenant, like so many people thought, but in fact was Spotlight, and I did get that one too. And here's part of that.
We would not be here today without the heroic efforts of our reporters. Not only do they effect global change, but they absolutely show us the necessity for global for investigative journalism.
There you go. It surprised a lot of people. Didn't really surprise me because Spotlight is the kind of movie that absolutely wins Oscars. And it's a terrific movie, too. And as I've said before, this is one of the few years that I can remember where I liked every movie that was nominated for Best Picture. So it wasn't like one of those things like if something wins Best Picture, you just go, oh, come on. All of the movies nominated on Sunday night were good. Mad Max was the best, but all of them was good. Let's see. Peter says, I've pretty much seen every Academy Awards, and I still watch in anticipation of who will win. I don't care about it being self-indulgent. I think of all the behind-the-scenes employees who make these movies. 815 area code says, Nick, I was very disappointed with the Oscars this year. The lack of diversity received plenty of publicity prior to the show. It's not necessary to permeate the show with it. Luckily, the Academy is making changes. Overall, I thought it was a very boring show. 574 says, am I wrong, or is this the first James Bond song that doesn't have the movie title in its lyrics? No, it's not. I think there have been other ones that didn't have the title in its lyrics, if I'm not mistaken. 231 area code says, the awards sucked as usual. They are overrated. Leave politics out of it. I love movies, but too much to put into it. Tim and Addison said, Mad Max sucked. A truly pointless story. If that would have won, I would have flown to L.A. and had to bust dome heads. Yeah, Tim, you're not right. I don't know what's wrong with you, but you're wrong. I haven't read a wronger thing today. And it will be the wrongest thing that I read all day, Tim and Addison. So there you go. All right. Overall, I thought the show was long. I mean, it was just your typical. There were a couple of things in there that I thought were okay. A couple of interesting innovations. They tried to do the crawl thing. I think it's a great idea, but what they wanted to do, the reason that they did it was to cut down on the long speeches, or at least to cut down on people thanking a ton of people that they don't need to thank. So overall, not a great show. I thought Chris Rock was good, not great. I think, like some people, he went to the well one too many times. There were certain bits that were really good. I was not surprised by a lot of the outcome. The most genuinely surprising thing of the night was the fact that Ex Machina won Best Visual Effects. Mark Rylance winning Best Supporting Actor was not a shocker to me. I was rooting for Stallone, but Rylance was amazing in the movie. Not a lot of other shockers either. I didn't think Spotlight was a big shock. I know a lot of people, most people were saying The Revenant was going to take it. I was actually brainwashed at one point into thinking that George Miller would win Best Director. Because you got to know, Esmeralda, after the sixth award that Mad Max won, I was just saying to myself, you know what? George Miller's got it. George Miller's going to win Best Director.
He looks so happy, too.
He's just a great guy. He's just insane. He's
silly little eyeglasses.
His crazy little glasses and his nutty hair. He's George Miller, man. He's one of the greatest imaginations in the history of cinema. That's one of the reasons I love Mad Max Fury Road so much. In two frames of that movie, you could take any two frames of that movie, and there's more imagination on display in two frames of that movie than 90% of all the movies and their running time. It's just an overwhelming amount of genius and imagination on display. And he's a great guy. All right, we'll take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the great George Kennedy, one of the legendary character actors of all time. George Kennedy passed away, and we'll pay tribute to him. But now we got a break for the news.